the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
My father's world, and to about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
That is precisely why I am here.
Then you will condemn him to death.
I didn't say that.
You said that's why you are here.
I said I came to judge.
Oh. Well, this fellow has committed crimes worthy of death.
I will judge that for myself.
He persuadeth men to worship gods contrary to the law.
Yes, may I speak in my own defense?
That is not necessary, sir. I refuse any longer to be the dupe of these jealous, intriguing Israelites. I am thoroughly disgusted with their bigotry and self-righteousness. Now, as for you, Sosthenes, and your charge against this man, if it were a matter of flagrant breaking of the law or of public lewdness, I would bear with you and hear the matter. But if it is a question of words and names or of your religious laws, take care of it yourself, for I will not sit in judgment on such matters. And take care that you yourself do not break the law. Now get out of my court.
Oh, one moment, please. I have something to say before we leave this court. Why was Paul brought here? Why has his honor, Judge Gallio, refused to have anything to do with this case? I shall tell you why. Because the new chief ruler of the synagogue has no case against the defendant. Paul was brought here for no other reason than because Sosthenes wanted to show his authority.
He is right. What do we know about Paul? Only what the chief ruler Sosthenes told us. Has Paul taken a whip to any of you and forced you to adhere to his doctrines? No. Has he forced anyone to worship the God he worships? No. It is no crime for Paul or anyone to try to convince anyone of anything. Sosthenes wanted us to beat Paul. Instead, let us beat Sosthenes.
Gallio, Your Honor, I demand protection.
I couldn't care less.
Thus, Christianity gained a signal victory in Corinth. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while and raised up a large church. Paul was still at Corinth, Silas and Timothy, who had been left to work a little longer in Thessalonica, rejoined him. This left the new believers in Thessalonica without an experienced leader.
I just cannot understand it. Several have died since Paul left.
I can't understand it either. Can you?
No. Unless Paul was mistaken, or we did not properly understand what he said. Yet, that can hardly be right either, for has not the entire church membership carefully guarded the lives of their loved ones, lest they should die, lose the blessing which we all look forward to at the second coming of Christ?
And now my little girl's about to die, and we'll never see her again. Never.
What did Paul say about the dead? Can you remember?
I'm trying to recall exactly what he said, but I was so happy at the new doctrine of salvation by way of the cross that I suppose I didn't listen too carefully when he talked about something else. But it does seem as if he said that Jesus is coming again to change the faithful who are alive and to take them to himself.
Then we never will again look on our daughter's face.
She's gone.
Oh, God. In the name of Jesus, thy Son, help these thy children to bear this heavy burden in this their hour of trial.
I have a perfect right to believe as I wish.
But not to urge your private views upon the church publicly.
And why not?
Because Paul properly organized the church with officers who were given special and specified duties. We should not refuse to be subordinate to such officers. If everyone were permitted to voice his views publicly, we would have all sorts of disorderly, busybody men proclaiming fanatical ideas and doctrines.
No, it's not right or fair. I don't like it.
I came with good news. I've just received a letter from Paul. It'll be read aloud this Sabbath in church.
I wouldn't
miss
a letter
there.
From Paul for
eagerly
anything.
Listening.
So a letter from Paul will be read aloud this Sabbath. Well, you'll find that I'm right about being permitted to voice my views publicly.
I shall now read the letter we received from our beloved Paul. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the people of the church in Thessalonica, who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. For we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work hard, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. We want you to know the truth about those who have died, so that you will not be sad and sorrowful, as are those who believe not and have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those also who have died believing in Jesus shall rise again. For the Lord himself teaches that we who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, my brethren, we shall again see our loved ones who have died in the faith.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Oh, this is a comfort to all of us who have had loved ones die, and to those of us who shall experience death.
Encourage one another and help one another, just as you are now doing. We beg you, brothers, to pay proper respect to those who work among you, those whom the Lord has chosen to guide and instruct you. Treat them with the greatest respect and love because of their position in the church. Be joyful always, pray at all times, and be thankful in all circumstances. Greet all the brothers with a brotherly kiss. I urge you, by the authority of the Lord, to read this letter to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye. Oh,
Live with Sam. I'm Sam here in my house with my mother, who just happens to be the world's greatest cook. She makes healthy meals for her family using only whole plant foods. Mom, welcome to Live with Sam.
Have you finished your homework yet?
Yes.
Is your room clean?
Mom, we're kind of on the air right now. You said I could interview you?
Wait! Oh no, I look terrible!
Mom, it's radio. People can't see you.
Honey, I'm having a really bad hair day. Can we do this tomorrow?
Don't worry, Mom. You look great. Really.
If you say so.
I've told everyone what a great cook you are. I want them to know your secret. Take, for instance, your bean soup. Like everything else you make, there's no meat in it because we're vegetarian. But it's delicious. How do you do that?
Well, I throw dried beans into a slow cooker with some water and a pinch of salt and let it simmer overnight.
You don't add any secret sauce or special herbs and spices?
Nope. Water and salt. Are you sure no one can see me?
Wait a minute. How about your awesome breads? How about that spaghetti dish you made yesterday? Or my favorite, Mexican food. Certainly you do something special with them.
Oh, maybe a little spice or seasoning here or there. But I figure that God put wonderful flavors in his foods, and I shouldn't get in the way by adding a bunch of other stuff. The simpler, the better, I always say.
Awesome. Thanks, Mom. This is Sam for Live with Sam.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 5. A Pain in the Neck. Maria felt sorry for Pastor Hill. Every time he tried to talk, he sneezed. Sometimes he sneezed 5 sneezes in a row. Maria sat down in a pew until it was her turn to learn her part in the wedding. If I had a cold like that, I wouldn't have to be in the wedding, she thought. Later, while she was practicing walking up the aisle as she was supposed to do at the wedding, she couldn't help but think about the next day when lots and lots of people would be sitting in the pews. Will they notice my dress, she wondered. She didn't think she would ever get it out of her mind. The wedding still wouldn't be anything as she had imagined it would be, but she wasn't going to quit either. Angie and Ben were counting on her to keep her word. Somewhere between talking to her mom about commitment and the end of the rehearsal, she made up her mind. She would stick to her commitment. Boy, am I tired, Maria thought as the Vargas family piled into the car for the drive home. After fastening her seatbelt and making sure Yo-Yo was fastened in, Maria leaned her head against the window and closed her eyes. She didn't even try to pick out the Big Dipper in the sky or try to find the North Star as she usually did at night. She could hear her parents talking softly in the front seat. Do you think Pastor Hill will be well enough to perform the wedding tomorrow? Her mother asked. Her dad's voice sounded worried. I don't know. You could tell he was feeling pretty bad tonight. That made Maria's eyes pop open for a second. What will happen if Pastor Hill can't be there? She wondered. And I thought my dress was a disaster. Angie might have to put off the whole wedding. Do you think Pastor Hill will be well enough to perform the wedding tomorrow? Her mother asked. Her dad's voice sounded worried. I don't know. You could tell he was feeling pretty bad tonight. That made Maria's eyes pop open for a second. What will happen if Pastor Hill can't be there, she wondered. And I thought my dress was a disaster. Angie might have to put off the whole wedding. Thinking about Pastor Hill reminded her of that strange phone call the day her dress arrived. I forgot to tell Mom or Dad about Pastor Hill being on the phone and in the front yard at the same time. I'd better do that right now. but her eyes were closing again. "I'll just rest for a few seconds, then tell them," she decided. 2 seconds later, it seemed like, Chris was shaking her shoulder. "Hey, Maria, wake up, we're home." Sleepily, Maria tried to raise her head, but a sharp pain ran right down one side of her neck. Her head felt as if it didn't want to stay on her shoulders. Her neck hurt too bad to hold it up. She tried holding up her head with her hands, but she quickly discovered she couldn't open her door at the same time. "I must have a kink in my neck from sleeping like that. What am I going to do?" Maria thought. Mom and Dad were already out and unlocking the front door. Yo-Yo must have slid out on Chris's side, so she can't help. Suddenly, Chris's face was smashed up against the outside of her window. "What are you doing?" He mouthed the words and steamed up the window. Maria groaned. "Oh, great. Chris will just laugh at me because my neck won't work right. I'm just not having a very good week." Trying to smile as pleasantly as possible, she turned her head as far as she could toward the window. Chris's grin was stuck to her window. "Please open the door," she asked. To her surprise, Chris didn't laugh or make stupid faces or yell loud enough to the whole neighborhood that his sister had a kink in her neck. Instead, he opened the door with a wide, sweeping bow. "There you are," he said nicely. Too nicely, Maria thought. Carefully, she moved her legs out of the car and stood up. "Thank you, Chris." "No problem, sis," Chris replied with a smile. "I thought you would do something dumb," Maria said. Chris acted shocked. "Who, me?" "Yes, you. You are my brother. I think I know you well enough by now." Maria thought it would be a good idea to keep an eye on Chris as she started toward the house, but her head could only be pointed in one direction. Slam! She heard the car door close behind her. Then she heard another sound, a very loud sound. "Yow!" Chris screamed as if he had slammed something in the car door, maybe his whole head. With the kink in her neck, Maria didn't think her head would even turn, but she just knew Chris had hurt himself badly. Her head was turning before she could stop it, and it hurt, almost as much as it hurt to see Chris standing there with a grin on his face. "That was mean," she yelled as she rubbed her neck. "It was a cruel joke to play. I really thought you were hurt." Raising his hands, Chris wiggled all his fingers. "But I'm not. Aren't you glad?" Maria sighed and turned around. Sometimes she thought she had one brother too many. Chris trotted up beside her as they entered the house. "How's your neck?" he asked. "It still hurts, thanks to you," Maria grumbled. Chris's smile disappeared. "I'm sorry. I guess that wasn't a very nice thing to do. Do you want me to rub your neck for you, or can I go find the heating pad? Mom likes to use that when she's got a sore neck." Maria frowned. "How can brothers be so mean one minute and nice the next?" Chris only shrugged and walked off to find their mom. "It was a pretty mean joke, wasn't it?" he called back. "It sure was," Maria answered, "but it proves that what I've been telling everyone is true. You really are a pain in the neck." Chris laughed, and Maria headed up to her room. She had to take 2 looks at her clock to be sure of the time, and she still couldn't believe it was so late. She quickly changed into her pajamas and crawled under the covers. Yo-Yo already had her pajamas on, but before climbing into bed, she stopped by Maria's room. "Good night, Maria." Maria smiled. "Good night, Yo-Yo." "Are you going to be in the wedding?" Yo-Yo asked. Maria started to nod, but stopped quickly. "Ow, I guess so," she answered as she rubbed her neck again. "Do you have to, even if you don't want to?" Yo-Yo wanted to know. "I said I would be in it for Aunt Angie, so I will. It won't be so bad. I'll just be different." Maria tried to explain. "It would be selfish for me not to be in the wedding just because I don't like the dress I'm supposed to wear." Yo-Yo didn't move. She was thinking very hard. Maria yawned and closed her eyes. "I could help," Yo-Yo offered, but Maria didn't hear. She was already asleep. Maria didn't hear Mom and Dad come in and kiss her goodnight. She didn't hear Chris when he left the heating pad on the chair by her dresser.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.